All right, everybody, welcome back to Digital Soup, the only podcast slamming more punch than a janitor in a demonic Chuck E. Cheese. Exactly. Oh, wait, did you drink that without your watch going off? Beep, 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 beep. Which we definitely have to get into when we get into the meat of this review here. But everybody, my name is Jason, and joining me in the virtual studio today is Adam and usually Dave. Hey, what's up, guys?
How's it going?
Nothing much.
I just got done with work. I know you guys were off today like you always are on Saturdays. I had a busy day at work. We were quite busy. Oh. You know, it's Valentine's Day Eve. Now, here, most of our listeners know that I work in a restaurant. And here's the thing. Today is Valentine's Day Eve. That's horrible because now your girlfriend or wife, etc., on the actual Valentine's Day, what are you going to do? Sit at home and watch NASCAR? I took you out last night, honey. We ain't doing anything today.
That's right.
It's like I've never celebrated MLK Day the day early. Do you guys?
I usually stop at the gas station and pick up a filter.
Paper
and
funnel.
And some Funyuns.
And that's as romantic as it gets.
It is, huh? No, did you guys do anything for your ladies tonight?
No.
No, tonight, I mean.
It's not Valentine's Day.
Yeah, it's not Valentine's
Day. That's what I'm saying. My restaurant was hugely busy. Granted, we're closed on Sundays. But
not yet,
huge.
If you know what I mean. Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle.
Yeah. Oh, man.
It was the sound of me wiggling my eyebrows.
Uh-huh.
That makes a sound. Did you have Botox?
Sounds like two balloons rubbing together.
So, anything happen interesting this week? We know Dave had some interesting stuff happen, so we'll save him for a second because he's going to bring the whole show down.
Yeah, that'll be about a 20-minute explanation. Yeah.
No, I won't.
What did you do this week, Adam? Anything cool?
Not exactly. I mean, we're in a cold snap up in Minnesota right now, so it's been sub-zero temperatures. There's not a whole lot of going outside and doing stuff.
So. How sub? Because a lot of our listeners, they're from the Bahamas, and they don't understand this. So I want you to explain to them what the temp was.
I think it was, coldest it got was about 19 below.
What?
Zero Fahrenheit for here. Yeah.
He lives cool. 4 hours south of you, Dave, so he's a little bit warmer.
I'm in the heat wave down here. Which
just this morning.
Just about 30 below wind chill.
Yeah. Just this morning, and this wasn't even the coldest day of this cold snap, I had straight air temperature of 38 below. My parents, about a half hour north of me, had 42 below. It wasn't very windy, thankfully, so wind chill was still probably only around that 50 mark. 50
only
below.
50 below, huh?
Yeah, but we had a few days earlier this last week that were air temperatures in the minus 45, that kind
of
stuff.
Ridiculous. And right now, where you're at, it's minus 20, and where I'm at, it's minus 12. So, I'm enjoying this sweet weather. Actually, I've got the fireplace going upstairs.
Well, tomorrow's the big day for us because we dipped below zero like last Friday. What was that date? I forget, like the first or second, whatever, early in February here, the 5th or 6th, I guess. And we have not seen anywhere close to even zero, let alone above zero, since then. And tomorrow on Valentine's Day, as we record this, we'll see if it happens, but we're supposed to break zero for the first time in more than 6-7 days.
Wow.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Here in Ohio, actually in Dover, Ohio, where I live, it's a balmy 24 degrees above zero.
Sweet. That's not bad.
It's not bad at all.
Anyway, no one wants us to talk about the weather.
Yeah.
Let's talk about ninjas. No, nothing too exciting. I mean, trying to stay warm and playing some PUBG and watching movies. That's,
of course, PUBG for this guy.
Dave had more issues. I want to hear about
it. Dave, go ahead and bring us down.
Well, I don't need to go into them too much, but let's just say it has been an ongoing frustration where my car, it's got 125,000 miles on it. And now all of these things that just come up normally a little bit at a time, with that mileage on a car, leaking this, leaking that, are starting to pop up, but they're all popping up at once. So in the last few months, I mean, literally 3-4 months, I've had a coolant leak, then I had an oil leak, got those both fixed, And then I had, after that, the water pump went and a transmission coolant line went. So I had those both replaced. And that was like not this Thursday, you know, it was like the 4th of February I had those replaced. And by Monday, so the 7th, 8th, whatever that was, I had another leak. It looked to be oil, but brought it into the shop. They had it for, I don't know, 8 hours, something like that, 7 hours. Could not find a leak anywhere. And so, okay, I take the car back. The next day at work, I back out of my spot on lunch break after letting my car warm up, another puddle.
Your car sucks.
Your car has a leakage issue.
Well, and in the one I saw, though, after, you know, on my lunch break at work, I made a point over lunch and in the evening after work and this weekend so far to park in places where I could watch for leaks and, you know, things like that, where there was nothing on the ground, and it's not leaking. So I don't know. The only thing I can figure out, and I'm not even sure this is possible, but where I park at work is the same spot every day through all of these leaks. So all of that stuff that was leaking, the oil, the coolant, the transmission cooler, and fluid stuff that was leaking there, all of that was leaking in roughly the same spot where I park every day. We got a light dusting of snow over the top of it Friday morning. And the only thing I can figure is when my car was sitting there running, heating up, that the heat from the engine may have possibly heated up that liquid underneath, the oil or something, a little quicker than it melted the snow and made it look like there was a puddle. And I don't even know if that's possible, but it's the only thing I can figure because I have not seen a drop anywhere else. And when I got back from lunch, that same spot that was about the size of maybe a golf ball when I left, when I came back, it was about triple that size.
This weather, I can't imagine anything melting under your car, even in this weather. I mean,
well, I know where I park at home, my wife and I both, when we, you know, because we start our cars every morning and I let them run in the evening, it's bare gravel underneath our cars.
Hmm.
You know, so there's definitely heat being thrown there. So it's melting that snow and keeping that all away. And so that's the only thing I can think of. But as of now, the shop says they can't find a leak anywhere. I can't find a leak anywhere, and it doesn't seem to be leaking anywhere else other than when I'm at work. So I don't know what's going on.
Well, I got a question for you. Do you possibly have an enemy that is cutting all your hoses?
Me have an enemy? No. Not, yes, not
because
possible.
You have never made anybody mad in your life.
Unless it's that Atari VCS guy come sneak up here.
Oh, yeah. He hates you, dude.
No, it's just frustrating. And then today, I had to, I don't know what I did. I was somewhere and I had to roll down my window and it was like halfways down and I went to roll it up and it was just clicking. It wouldn't go. I'm like, are you kidding me? And so I hit the button down. It rolled down a little bit and then it went right back up. So I haven't had any trouble with that. So I don't know if that was just cold and, you know, stuck a little bit or what, but
good times.
It's frustrating.
Good times.
Yeah.
Well, do we want to leave this now and go on to some happier times?
Well, yeah, it's your birthday and we want you to have fun.
It's your birthday.
You know what, that the earworm of it's your birthday.
I know.
Last, I'm not kidding, yesterday I was in my kitchen like like, oh my gosh, am I singing like the devil stuffed animal horror movie theme song? Yes. Yep. I was.
You know, and I didn't think about that when we decided that we were going to do a super review of Willy's Wonderland. That's what we're talking about here, everyone. That Adam dislikes horror movies.
But this is labeled a horror comedy.
Oh, was it? Is that how it's classified?
I believe so.
No, I should have waited and had Jesse come over, but we didn't touch base and connect, so might have to still.
And it was kind of last minute when we decided to change plans and do this. So
that's true.
Yeah, a little behind the curtain here. We already had this episode that's coming out Monday, recorded, edited, and ready to go. But we decided, hey, we want to do a super review of this movie. Why not do it now while it's hot? You know, when people are actually interested, instead of like a month down the road where people are like, yeah, that's so 30 days ago, guys.
So here's a question for you. I can't remember now because we've recorded and done a couple of these already before doing tonight's. Had we even mentioned that we wanted to see this movie? Was that in the first episode back, or was that in the one we recorded that won't come out until after we've done the review?
That I'm not sure, but hey, it'd be kind of funny if it was, if that was the first mention of it.
Right. I think it was in 201, the first one back, but.
Right. Okay. Well, that'd be good then. You know, it's been a while since we've done a super review, all three of us. You guys were doing a lot of them once I had to leave the show. But if I remember right, wasn't Adam the synopsis guy? Didn't he always read the synopsis for us?
Nope.
Oh, was it Dave?
Yeah, it was whoever.
Whoever
okay,
did.
I never read it, yeah. So it was one of you two.
To your point, though, I mean, I'm not a horror movie fan.
Yeah.
But well, we'll get into that.
All right, so who wants to read the synopsis real fast?
Well, let me grab it here real quick, and I can do that for you.
It's in the show notes if you pull up the show notes.
Yep, I've got it. A quiet drifter is tricked into a janitorial job at the now-condemned Wally's Wonderland. The mundane task
who's
suddenly
Wally?
Willie. It's the IMDb is wrong.
Okay, no, it's not wrong. I'm trying to remember, I think it was 2019. This is based on a short film that G.O. Parsons made, and originally it was called Wally's Wonderland.
Okay.
A little
dropping some flick facts.
So the Internet Movie Database entry that you're reading, Dave, is completely wrong. Well, not completely wrong, but it's based on the short, not the full length.
Yeah, it's titled Willy's Wonderland 2021. It looks like maybe they just copied and pasted it or something. But anyways, the mundane tasks suddenly become an all-out fight for survival against wave after wave of demonic animatronics. Fist fly, kicks land, what? Titans clash. And only one side will make it out alive.
Demonic matronics.
Demonic animatronics.
Demonic matronics.
If you were to ship it.
Demonitronics.
Demonitronics.
Yeah, it's demonitronics, obviously.
I want to get a shirt with that on it. Demonitronics.
This film, I know I don't know anything about this, but I know I've seen a lot of people refer to it as a bit of a homage to Five Nights at Freddy's. And I don't know what that's all. I've seen that, but I don't know what
it is. It's a video game.
Yeah.
It's basically sort of the same type of thing. Mm-hmm. But I believe that the original conception of this probably predates that. I don't know 100%. Mm. Maybe I'll do some research on that later and post it up. But yeah, that's every single review that you read about this movie. It does bring up Five Nights at Freddy, which all of my kids have played and have told me about, and they think it's fun.
Oh, I hear lots of people talk about this, especially younger kids, but I don't know anything about it. But
yeah, me neither.
So remember when we first saw this and we saw the trailer and we're like, oh man, this thing looks crazy. Without getting into anything else detail-wise yet, I'm dying to know this from the two of you. After we've all watched this, in a short, couple words, what is your reaction when this movie finished, the credits rolled? What was your reaction to the film immediately after seeing it?
All right, and before we answer, I do want to preface this, we should have done it earlier, that this review will be spoiler-filled. So if you have not seen this movie, probably go ahead and skip to the ending credit chapter where you can hear our goodbyes, then go watch it, and then come back and listen.
Right.
All right, did you want to take it first, Adam?
Sure. My reaction when the credits rolled was, it was pretty fun. I mean,
yeah.
It's being not a horror fan of the genre, it was, I'm not blown away or anything, but it was fun. And Nick Cage doing not speaking a single line throughout the entire thing. I was waiting for him to have like something at the end, but nope, they held true to it. So
see, and I love that too, because I don't know if it was in 201 or the episode that's going to be 203 now. But we actually mentioned it in the show that it would be awesome if he didn't speak a line of dialogue the entire movie, and he didn't.
And there he didn't.
He just did it all with his eyes.
Yeah, and so to summarize, I mean, I'm not a big fan of any kind of demonic movies and stuff like that. I don't like that stuff. But when they're getting beatdowns from Nick Cage, I'm cool with that. So
definitely.
All right, your turn, Jason. What was your immediate? I know kind of because I saw you posting in the chat to us, but.
Well, I just pulled it up in Discord so I can read verbatim what I had said. But as soon as this movie was over, the very first thing I said to Dave, to both of you two in the chat was, it's your birthday. and then right afterwards, I said, now this is an instant classic.
Yeah.
I think this is one of those movies. A lot like the Evil Dead Army of Darkness movie series there. It's just campy horror, but it was so enjoyable. I enjoyed the entire movie from start to finish. I have so much to say about this movie, just all the different things. And of course, I have so many questions that I don't know if Gio Parsons will ever be able to answer this. Maybe, hey, maybe we could get him on the show and interview him and I can ask these questions. So Gio, can I call you Gio? Mr. Parsons, I'll call you that. If you would like to be on the show, definitely reach out to us via Twitter or geeks@digitallysuitpodcast.com. Wow. I am serious. You know,
plugging it.
I am. I would love him to come on. I mean, if I would have let Dave say it, would say, hey, yeah, go to AICpod.com and let us know.
Yep. Redirect you to another show.
Right. Yep. He doesn't know that I redirected Digital Soup to AIC Pod already.
Oh, snap.
No.
All right. Let's jump into this movie here a little
Before
bit.
We do that, let me give you my reaction, because I posted it to
Yeah, we didn't even ask you. That's
I posted it to my AIC Stories feed on Instagram.
I think I've seen that.
And so, and this is meant with no offense, but I have a screenshot of the movie poster, the official poster that's out, which I have a question about that. It's missing one of the animatronics, but anyways.
Oh, I didn't even notice.
But I said, what an absolutely horrible, nostalgic, and amazing film. I don't know if this is a terrible film or so awful it's incredible film. I guess that's just Willy's Wonderland. This film was just such an amazing throwback to some of the cheeseball movies like Attack of the Killer Clowns from Outer Space and just
Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, too.
Attack of the
one?
Killer Tomatoes. Yeah, Killer Clowns from Outer Space. And, you know, those kinds of film. Just cheeseball horror fun that, I mean, it was nothing that was, there was no big Shyamalan twist in this thing. There was no, you know, major plot devices or storytelling. It was just straight up fun, stupid fun. And over the top Nick Cage, and it's definitely worth a watch. It's so much fun.
Now, this is one of those movies, if we could go back in time 20 years to when we were all hanging out, playing N64, watching wrestling.
You got to go back farther.
Oh, even back farther? Oh my gosh, we're old now. Yeah. Let's say 25, 30 years.
Okay, now it's too far.
Okay, a little too far. Dial it back.
We got 25. But back in that day, I could see us pulling this movie out once a month and watching it.
Oh, yeah.
And just loving, you know, just everything about this. I mean, when I got done with this movie, it was just like Rocky IV. You know, I'm saying when you got out of the theater out of Rocky IV, you were pumped. You wanted to go find yourself, you know, a Russian and beat him down. It's what you wanted to do. Was he Russian or German? Now I can't even remember.
Russian.
Okay, I got it right. And you just want to beat him down. Well, after watching this movie, I wanted to go to Chuck E. Cheese and just start whipping up Chucky, you know? Just taking him down. Am I right? You guys with me? Let's do it.
You're on your own there.
Flying sidekick to Chucky.
Yeah, I didn't feel like that after this film. You know, I wasn't running around fist pumping and anything like that. It was a lot of fun. I know fun. When yep. As the credits rolled, I listened to the song, the main theme song, which is kind of cool. It's kind of a modern. It feels like an 80s song, but at the same time, it's very modern. And it as the film goes on, it kind of gets revealed a little bit at a time. And I looked right away. It was on Spotify, so I've listened to it a handful of times. But as that music's playing, all the neon, you know, bright lights and the credits, I was just sitting there with a smile on my face, like that was so dumb and so freaking fun. It didn't require me to think about plot. It didn't require me to figure out anything. It was just straight up fun. And I miss these kinds of movies so much. I mean, this is a classic, and I mean this in the best way possible.
A new classic.
Yeah, well, I mean this in the best way possible, but this is a classic B movie that we grew up on for the modern times that is going to be another Evil Dead type movie. It's going to be another one of those ones that everybody, I think, will watch and enjoy and have fun with, but it's not going to get the Oscar buzz. You know what I mean?
No, I mean, there's very little character development. There's more. There's almost as much more character development for the animatronics. And I think one of the things I was thinking about, and this has less to do with impression, but just observation. Subconsciously, you see him put on this Willy's Wonderland shirt every time after, you know, he gets into a battle and gets stuff all bloody and all over. Right. They're going to sell a ton of these shirts.
Right.
I want one. I seriously would love to have one. I think I'm going to go online and order one.
It reminded me of, like, you just cleared a board in a video game and suddenly your character starts and it's all shiny and clean again.
Yep. Full health again, right?
Yep, yep. So. Everything's restored. We're, you know, except for, you know, in a video game, you're not duct taping your ribs, you know, because you got beat up by a gorilla.
You know, when I saw him doing that, I'm like, oh, that's going to hurt so bad taking it off.
To take it off.
Unless he's sweating, because if you're sweaty under there, it's not going to hurt. It'll slip right off.
Okay. No, from experience?
Yeah. Not with ribs, but with other injuries, yeah.
So, not being a horror fan, here's one of the things that appealed to me about this, is that, you know, when you grow up with whatever your childhood fear is,
yeah,
and you imagine being able to fight back and overcome it, that was exactly what Nicolas Cage embodied in this, is that the first time the super creepy ostrich, which, by the way, every single creature in here is creepy, especially the siren thing.
Oh, yeah.
But he doesn't even flinch. He just eyes it up, breaks the broom handle over his knee, and just goes to town on it. Like, that's what you would want to do to whatever your childhood fear was. Mm-hmm. And that was what made it kind of cool. But
I'm going to eat your face.
Yeah. Here's something I thought. I thought right off the bat. Well, I shouldn't say right off the bat. One of those, as the movie ended, the ending credits went, the most unbelievable part of this whole film.
Okay.
Follow me.
All right.
We're seeing these deaths. We're seeing all these crazy things, satanic rituals that transferred these psychotic serial killers into these animatronics. The most unbelievable thing in this whole film to me was the fact that he took that dump of a place that was in such disrepair in one night, and it was sparkling new, just like the it had never been shut down.
Yep.
And that to me, and I was just like, of course he did.
I want to piggyback on that real fast, just because I have a whole list of stuff I want to talk about.
Hit it.
So that's why I was saying this show is going to be like 5 hours. One of my bullet points I have is the janitor's work ethic is amazing.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, no matter what's going on, he is focused on getting this place clean because that was the deal he made.
Yeah.
I'm going to clean the place and I'm going to get my car fixed.
And don't mess with his brakes.
No. Yes.
When
even
it's
if
break
in
time,
the middle of a fight.
Yeah, when it's break time, all bets are off, and it's all about pinball machine, the Willy's Wonderland pinball machine. Yep. And what you're talking about is a scene where one of the kids that's in there just gets killed. The janitor, well, I know they refer to him as the Drifter a lot, too. So, you know, whatever you want to call him. Him and this character Liv, the main female lead, they're facing down one of the animatronics, and his watch goes off, and he just reaches in his pocket, hands her the switchblade that he took from her earlier, and, all right, I'm out. And he goes,
break time.
Drinks a punch. And
grabs a punch, which I'm assuming was some kind of pop or soda.
Yep.
Okay. And he's playing his pinball machine, and then the break time's over, and he comes back and, you know, rescues her, finishes the fight. She's trying to survive and stuff. Don't mess with his break time. He'll work when it's time to work, but when it's break time, it's pinball time, baby.
Now, the very beginning here, I want to cover this here real fast. So first, I just have to say, sweet Camaro. Oh, my goodness, that is an awesome car. Just everything about it is just sweet. And I love the way they film this, you know, like the close-up of the mufflers and, you know, just the wheels and everything as it's going. I just loved it. But here's one thing. This is right at the beginning here. So right after he has that tire blowout, he opens up the trunk. He grabs the spikes. What do you call that spike thing the cops use?
Spike strip.
Spike strip. And he throws it in the trunk of his car, grabs a punch. Now, here's the thing, and I don't know if you guys noticed or not. He slams that punch, crushes it, and throws it, I believe it was back in the trunk. And then it has a view of just his boots. And he must have stood there motionless for hours because you saw as the sun moved, his shadow moved.
Well,
did you notice that?
Yeah. Yes. You realize he didn't really stand there for all those hours.
What? Not in real life, but his character stood there.
Yeah, just waiting.
They did use a special effect.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, they can move a light on the set and make that happen.
Okay, I understand that. But I just thought it was another thing they're adding to his character was this guy just stood there for hours as the sun moved across.
What if he's an animatronic?
He could be. He could be like the T-1000? And they were the T-800s, and he was taking them down?
The T-1000 was the liquid metal one.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying that the original, never mind. Okay.
All right, anyway.
I do have something else to point out. This is, again, at the beginning here, and I don't know if you guys noticed this and if you felt the same way. So he is in the cab of the truck with the tow truck driver.
Mm-hmm.
They pulled up outside of the trailer house that the sheriff and her, which we find out later, is like just a kid that didn't get killed in there, and she's been raising
and a corrupt cop.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But so she just got her daughter, I'm going to do air quote daughter, out of the back of the car. She's still handcuffed, and they're walking in the front of the car. That's when the tow truck driver pulled up. Mm-hmm. Now, as they're having their conversation, the tow truck driver and the police officer, Liv and the janitor, lock eyes for so long.
Yeah.
And I started to feel a little uncomfortable here because I'm like, what is she, 16, 17? And he's in his 50s?
That's a good point. And I had to look it up after this film. She, in real life, is about to turn 23. The actress's name is Emily Tosta, T-O-S-T-A. And I had to look it up because I'm like, there was just some weird, even the ending when they, you know, drive off. I'm like, this is just weird that he's so old and this is supposed to be a 16-year-old girl. Thankfully, well, in real life.
I don't think he was perving out on her, was he?
No, I think they're just, he knew something.
But it just seemed like it was too long of an eye lock.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the way I looked at women when I was interested.
Well, can you blame him for looking?
I mean, what are you interested in now?
What?
He's got a new dog at home.
Go back and listen to what you said. Anyway.
Okay, I will because I have to edit.
I mean, as far as that actress, though, beautiful. I mean, not to sound like a pervy old man, but I mean, well cast in just one of the, I mean, given that she's one of the few people that actually speaks in this thing more than a couple lines, I thought she did a nice job.
The funny thing is, I mean, right after the tow truck driver leaves, she takes, I don't even know what the cop's name is, but we'll just call it the sheriff or whatever.
Sheriff Grant.
No, that's the woman's real name, isn't it? Is it that her last name in real life? But anyways, takes Liv into the trailer house, handcuffs her to
Sheriff Lund.
Okay. Handcuffs her to a radiator, gives her a bucket, and says, there's some chips over there you can have. It's like, what? You're handcuffing
nice parenting.
And you're leaving. Granted, we've all wanted to do that to our children at one time or another if they're acting up, but we never have.
Yeah.
I'm just going to keep
going. That was quite a laugh he gave. Did you catch that, Adam? We've never done that.
No, never. Just thought about it. Hey, now I'm going to keep going through my list here, and you guys could just comment it on because I'm sure you'll enjoy some of it, and maybe you can answer some questions for some others, but I love the tow truck driver when they're in the shop. He doesn't accept credit cards, of course, so convenient, and of course, all the ATMs are down, but I loved his line, the tow truck driver's line here, where he goes, we're going to get internet. But they just didn't. The way he said that, I listened to that line twice. Just the way he delivered that line, I just thought it was hilarious. And then he said another line that I loved here. Now that's a dilly of a pickle.
And he's chewing on what, like a beef stick or something the whole time?
Oh, was that? I thought it was just like the stub of a cigar.
I thought it was a cigar too, but it looked to me like a beef stick. Maybe it was a cigar. I don't know, but
shouldn't have lasted long if it was a beef stick.
Right.
Yeah, I would have been gone if it was in my mouth.
Wow.
We already mentioned this before. Maybe Dave answered it. I was wondering, what is up with that timer? Why does it keep going off and then he has to go drink a punch? But you said it's his break. But how many people take that many breaks in a night? In an 8-hour shift, you might have one break. So if he was there 16 hours, he'd have two breaks.
I don't think this is the type of film we need to worry about analyzing details like that, because there are plenty of things that don't make sense. But to answer your question, Tex McAdoo, when he locks him in there and he says, well, it's getting pretty late. Better get going. Make sure and take a lot of breaks.
Yep.
He tells him to make sure and take a lot of breaks through the night. That's, I think, why he sets his watch and however long it is. I don't know. But
okay.
When that timer goes off, he's taking his break and then he's, gets back to work. So.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, here's the thing. Okay, this goes back to, again, what you said. This was when he had his last break. I believe it was his last break of the night, was during that fight when he walked away and drank his punch and started playing pinball. What is up with this crazy dancing he was doing while he was playing pinball?
Well, I don't know. And he, there's definitely... impromptu. What was that?
I'm guessing it was impromptu.
Yeah. Well, here's there's definitely some significance to that game. And that's one of those things where it feels like we didn't get to see the whole story. Like, why is he so... It's almost like he came there with the intention of, oh, this pinball machine is there. I've got to play this thing. I don't care what else happens, but I'm going to play this game. And to me, the thought I had after, especially that final dance he does where... he breaks a million on the score, on high score on the machine, and he's like celebrating and doing all this stuff and his moves he's doing. All I could think of was, oh my God, Napoleon Dynamite is now 50.
Oh yeah, he did have those kind of moves. I've got a secret theory here.
I was thinking the same thing. I know what you're going to say.
All they did was secretly record him on his actual break from the movie.
No, that's not what I was going to say.
It was Nicholas. I'm going to go over here and play pinball.
No, that is not what I thought you were going, what if this is Napoleon Dynamite 30 years in the future, 40 years in the future?
If anything, it'd be Kip.
Yeah, right.
He's the one that had all the training.
But this town has no internet, so how's he going to get some babes?
Well, he already had LaFonda.
All right, so there was another movie in the past to where some people did a satanic ritual and then put their essence, their being inside something. Do you know what I'm talking about?
That would be Chucky.
Exactly. This is basically the same way Charles Lee Ray transferred his soul into that good guy doll.
Same universe, maybe?
Same universe?
No.
No, okay.
Here's the thing. I think Chucky could have taken each of these animatronics. What do you think? Granted, he's a little guy, but he's more mobile. That's the one thing about this is, well, the siren was pretty mobile, and also the turtle. He was pretty mobile. But most of them, I think they could have bested quite easily if it wasn't the start and the terror of an animatronic coming after you.
Right.
Especially, the first, the first three, four of them. He seemed to take them down pretty easily. Now, yeah. Willie, on the other hand, oh, man, he was all Freddy Krueger.
Man, he straight up sliced that sheriff in half.
Oh, yeah.
And then the delayed, the torso, the legs are still standing, of course. The top falls away. Mm-hmm. The legs are going to still stand. And it's just like the cheesiest blood spraying. It was so much fun. I mean, this movie, that's a thing. I know people will look at films and analyze it. I saw even Roger Ebert's website, whoever's doing the reviews there, was kind of, crapping on this movie. And
he's dead, isn't he?
Yeah, but they have someone else that's still keeping it going. And a lot of people are kind of, piling on this movie. Even people saying this film starring Nicolas Cage did not have enough Nicolas Cage in it.
Well, we didn't get his lines.
No, we didn't get his speaking.
Some great lines and stuff.
Right.
He acted basically his eyes almost the whole time. Well, I mean, that's... He put a lot of into his eyes and everything.
He's just a quirky character. I mean, he's sandpapering his fingertips and stuff so he can play pinball better.
Oh, is that what he was doing?
Yeah.
At first, I thought he was trying to make his nails sharper so he could attack.
No, he was sanding them down and getting the fingernails just right and everything so it was perfect for playing pinball. I mean, I'd love to see more adventures of this weird dude. Like, who is he? We don't know why he's out there driving around the countryside anyways. And then he leaves with this girl. And the whole time he's there, he's just a total badass and he's kicking butt. And he seems to be familiar with this place in some respect and not be surprised by it one bit. I want to know more about him, but he's just such a weird character. And it was him and his, like you said, his eyes and his facial expressions, body language, and his crazy black, Ron Popeil spray paint bald spot remover beard that was so black and just precise. I mean, maybe that's his real beard color, but I'm thinking he's older and it's not that color anymore. But it's just those things. And he sold everything. And I told a friend of the show today, this morning, the mailman, I didn't want to spoil it for him, but I said, I don't know if this is even possible, but you hear of actors when they get into a scene just chewing up scenery. You know, they really go all, you know, over the top. He, without saying a word, just spent this whole film chewing scenery. It was amazing.
How many movies is it to where the main character, and I'm not talking about stupid animals, you know, in movies, mm-hmm. but the main character of a movie doesn't utter one word of dialogue? I can't even think of another one where they didn't.
Was it Judge Dredd?
Yeah.
He made comments.
Someone farted in here.
No, it was like, I am the law.
That's why he was scowling all the time. No.
I mean, I don't think it's, I don't know. I didn't find his performance like amazing because it's he's not talking. He's just fighting animatronics.
When I say amazing, I mean, it was just so ridiculous and over the top, and there was humorous parts to it, like his pinball breaks, you know, contrasted with just these violent fight scenes, you know, that are happening. And just it was one of those, like I said earlier, so terrible it's good. It was, I loved it. And it's not to say it was a terrible movie. I don't mean it that way. It's really embracing it.
You stated it well, that it's a fun, like, throwback to B movies.
Yeah. And I love the B movie genre. And I mean, it's one of those things I miss so much. And this just,
the 80s, totally, we had so many B movies in the 80s and maybe even early 90s. But now it's like everything has to be a blockbuster. It has to be a big, huge thing. Especially, I think Marvel has a lot to do with that. They're right. Like, well, up in the ante.
So speaking of dialogue, let's talk about the dialogue that was in this film from the other actors. We got a little bit from the tow truck driver. He basically does the talking for Nick Cage.
Yeah, I like that.
He's holding a one-sided conversation, you know.
Oh, yeah, you don't want to look back. That's right. You just want to
exactly
the past.
Yeah, and
he was
got
a talker.
Yeah, you've got Tex McAdoo, who he kind of is playing the used car salesman. He knows what's up. The sheriff, she doesn't do much talking, a little bit, but not a ton. The dorky deputy that I don't know, maybe it sounds bad to me, but I was glad he got torched like he did. He was just a doofus. And then you've got the friends. And that was like the friends' interactions with each other. It almost was borderline, aside from Liv, the main character, the rest of the friends were almost, it almost felt like borderline, not another teen movie spoof parody type performances of what teens in these kinds of movies would normally talk about. And it wasn't like brilliant, but it towed that line of, is this really how they're supposed to be talking, or is this intentionally kind of poking fun at just how dumb some of these kids in these movies are?
Yeah, I think that.
So with that, I mean, we see the one couple, who is it? I've got a note here. Bobby and Kathy, they go off to the super happy fun room, which is like the room that they did the satanic ritual in and did all the killing in, and they're gonna have sex, you know. Of course, every horror movie has to have that.
Yeah, why not?
They get chewed up, and you've got all the other friends. Those friends all die within minutes of each other in this film. I mean, they all die so fast.
Yeah, they're throwaway characters.
They were there through like the first third of the movie. And then once they all get inside this place, we have the massive exposition dump on, don't you know what's going on with this place? And Liv, the main character, is filling in all this evil stuff that's happened. And we're seeing it through flashbacks and all this stuff. And then they all kind of split up. And they don't even try to get out. They're just boom, 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 boom. Every one of them killed brutally. It was just total throwaway. And then all she has to say every time, it cracked me up, she's like, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry to her friends that have been just mutilated. They're laying there dead. And she's just like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Like, she's not even freaking out. You know, she's just almost not quite as level and cool as, you know, playing it cool as Nick Cage in this film. But she's borderline there, where she almost doesn't even flinch and just gives a kind of afterthought of an apology, like, oh, I'm sorry, you're dead. My bad. Sorry about that. You know, it was hilarious.
Dave, while we're talking about death right now, because there's a lot of death in this movie, you were nice enough to compile a list of all the death in the movie. This guy's sick, you know, listeners. This guy, he's like, I got to write down all the
death. Makes it sound like I did this, and it wasn't a phone call from him a half hour before we hit record. Hey, can you do me a favor? I said, yeah, I can do that.
Ah, that's how it happened.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's how it, and Dave, you know, he came through here because he has every death listed. Let's talk about some of these deaths here, specifically about the animatronics. Mm-hmm. We don't really care about the people that much, but the animatronics. How did the janitor take them out? Do you want to start?
So first up, the first one we see is Ozzy the Ostrich. And he's the one we see in the trailer. Ooh! Yeah, he's that one.
Oh!
And that's the one where he breaks the mop handle over his knee and you know, brutally beats him within the first, I don't know how many minutes of this
film. Does a few test hits on him first.
Right. He's like sparring with him with a full mop first, and then he's finally like, okay, that's enough. Boom, snaps it over his knee. Now, I want to point something out. I'm not going to say it for everyone. Every single one of these animatronics had those cutesy voices and then would like finish it with a, I'm going to feast on your flesh. You know, just weird, just totally dark stuff. But Ozzy the Ostrich, after a quick battle with the janitor, the drifter, Nick Cage, ends up getting beat to a bloody pulp, oily pulp, and having his spinal cord ripped out.
Yep.
Just like Mortal Kombat.
That was when I knew I'd like it.
Yep, exactly. Then it's break time. Get a little pinball. He sees the machine, drinks a punch, and after the break, he's working on cleaning the bathrooms, and in comes Gus the Gorilla, who bruises his ribs.
How did he hide in that bathroom
stall? Yeah, I don't know.
Well, he was in the ceiling tiles. Didn't he swing down?
I don't know where he was.
Well, he went ape on him.
Yeah, he was somewhere up there.
Curb stomped him.
Yeah, basically he curb stomped his head into a urinal.
It almost looked like he put like his upper jaw.
Yeah.
Like he had it open and then that's what curb stomps. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I thought curb stomp meant you did stomp. You know, you have your broom handle and your shoes and you're on a curb and you're just redoing stomp. Yep.
The musical stomp.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
He did that.
Yep.
I know that was a long way for a dumb joke. I'm sorry. Yeah.
It's all right.
You should apologize. Anyways, after that, we see the next animatronic who, before his battle with the janitor, brutally kills one of the friends in the group, Aaron, with his sword. I thought he cut his head off or cut him in half or something, but I can't.
Cut him in half, I thought.
That's what I thought.
The Nighty Knight?
Yeah, the animatronic's name is Nighty Knight. And he's in armor, has this giant Final Fantasy-sized sword, and does battle. I believe he's going after Liv at that time, and the janitor comes in off a break, and the two of them...
I love that.
The two of them kind of team up and end up killing Nighty Knight. I can't remember exactly how Nighty Knight dies, but that happens.
Maybe he went to sleep and never woke up.
Yeah, well, he basically did, yeah. And then the friends, Bobby and Kathy, like I already mentioned, are in the super happy fun room, and Artie the Alligator stalks them in there. And while they are making boom boom in the fun room, Artie the Alligator begins to just eat them both.
Yep, the creepy corner.
It's staring at
right.
us.
Right. Yeah, he's staring Who cares, at baby? Us. Yeah, let's give him a show, baby.
It's like, we know right. where we but, are. We were going to burn it down earlier, but now let's just
But right. why is Kathy is just so dumb here, which, of course, these movies, this is a horror movie trope.
Yep.
You know, it's been around forever. But as Artie the Alligator is eating Bobby, she is just sitting there, I think still straddling him, screaming,
"Well,
get up and run."
She tries to get
well,
up.
She didn't run to the door. That's
yeah,
right.
And the door is locked or something. And Artie the Alligator ends up killing them both, at which point the janitor and Liv pop in the room. He kicks down the door like all slow-mo bad.
Oh,
boom!
Man. So he is the T-1000.
Yeah. So
he's able to kick this door completely off his hinges.
You know what's awesome? He killed the alligator in the manner in which I wanted him to kill the alligator.
Right. It was exactly
King
satisfying.
Kong style.
Yeah, just rips his jaws open, and then once he's got his jaw busted open, he reaches in and like rips out his tongue and kills him. Okay. So then we've got two of the animatronics, Tito the Turtle and Siren Sarah. And they team up and kill the kid that's crushing on our main character, Liv. They convince him to... Oh, no, sorry. Dan is the one killed by Tito the Turtle and Siren Sarah in that blinking strobe light room. And then their friend Chris, who is crushing on Liv, is killed by Cammy the Chameleon. She breaks his neck with her creepy tongue.
Mm-hmm. I'm different from the other one.
Yeah, you can trust me. You can save me. Yep, you're gone. At that point, that's when, you know, he goes on his break in the mid-fight and all of that stuff. At the same time, the deputy is attacked and killed. Well, later in the film a little bit, deputy is attacked and killed by Tito the Turtle, who has followed them, Liv and the deputy, away. The janitor kills Cammy the Chameleon. I can't remember how he killed her, though. I know he flipped her around by her tongue a few times, threw her around.
Well, he was dragging Cammy the Chameleon through the hallway, and then there was the two animatronics at the in the hallway.
Punches
right?
them.
And he just kind of like bruises away
that's,
through.
Yeah, that's them. Right. That's right. Yep.
But I'm not sure how he finally.
Yeah, I can't Cammy remember the there. Though. But that's when we see Willie the Weasel. He comes to life and shreds Sheriff Lund in half. Now, there is a scene that, as I was making my notes, I forgot about, because the janitor has to fight Siren Sarah and the Chameleon together, and that's where he's handcuffed already. And he ends up killing Siren Sarah by... At first, it looked like he was just sitting on her face. Yeah, he's got her neck and head between his knees, and he's, like, twisting and like, crushing her. And we think he kills her there, and he somehow, at that point, kills Cammy the Chameleon as well. And then he bags up everyone, brings him out. That's when the final showdown with Willie the Weasel happens, which is a massive battle. He gets just swiped up and, you know, ripped up and torn up. How he came out of that... barely injured, I don't know.
Well, it didn't look like there was any blood. It looked like when his shirts and stuff were shredded.
No, I think I thought I saw some blood. I thought he was tearing skin on that.
Okay, maybe.
But he ends up just climbing out of the ball pit, of all things, and just brutalizes Willie the Weasel. I mean, he just pummels the snot out of him and ends up, I think he rips off his head. At the end, like he's got him beat so badly, and he grabs him on top of his head between the ears and rips his head straight up and off and bags them all up, throws them outside. So at that point, we think all of the animatronics are dead, except that's when we get to the morning and Tex McAdoo and the tow truck driver show up and give him his car back and everything else. And we see Siren Sarah climb out of the dumpster. And as they get in the car, she blows up the car and herself at the same time.
Yep.
So she probably is dead.
I think so. Although, remember I mentioned something about the movie poster. She is the only character that I can see anyway. She is not present on the actual film poster. And I don't know why. You've got Nick Cage. You've got all the friends. You've got Liv. You've got all of the other animatronics. The gorilla. Willie the Weasel. Tito is on there. Yep. The ostrich. You've got Cammy the Chameleon. You've got the knight. So you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of them. And I believe there's 8. She's the 8th animatronic. Maybe she didn't die.
Interesting.
Maybe she didn't die. I don't know. And then at the very end, as the credits are about to roll, poor Tito the Turtle. Let's talk about when she beats him up out on the road and she's like just pounding on him. He's like in Spanish, he's yelling, "Oh, my nuts. Oh, my." You know, she's just pounding on him. Finally, he's like, "Oh, no more, no more, no more." And she lets him go, so we know he's not dead. And then we see him limping back to Willy's Wonderland at the end, and that beautiful Camaro just plows through him and explodes him on the road. So all of them appear to be dead, but that's every death in this film.
Okay, this is going to sound weird, but this is something I could see being one of those things where it's a recurring character in sequels of suddenly silent Nick Cage, whatever his actual, the janitor, is just cleaning up all these like demonic things. It's like John Constantine, except he's...
He just shows up at these haunted places and doing his thing. And that's the question I had for you guys as we're talking about going through these deaths and everything else. I mean, they explain how these people, you know, these animatronics got there, and they don't explain anything about the drifter or the janitor, Nick Cage's character. Not a thing.
Nope.
Like,
not a thing.
There is zero information on that character other than he's there like Roddy Piper in They Live. Was it I'm here for two things? Chewing bubblegum and, you know, kicking ass and chewing bubblegum, whatever it was, and I'm all out of bubblegum. He's just there to clean that place and kill these creatures and get his car back. He gets his car back, and now he's got this co-pilot, and they're off.
Yep.
Just weird.
I do have to say, though, not knowing any backstory on him, it just it makes it so much cooler.
Yeah.
Because you don't know. You don't know anything about him. And all his quirkiness, it makes it... You don't always need to be hand-fed everything from a movie, and I kind of like that.
Well, there's elements in this film of some of the things I love most about like short stories when you see authors writing those really well. I mean, be it Stephen King or any number of the stories, Adam, you or I do on our other shows, there's something that fascinates me about the way a short story can jump into this situation, tell this complete story in a short fashion. It doesn't spend time, you know, giving you the entire history like Lord of the Rings. It's not telling you the entire history of every character. And at the end of it, it's not answering every question about what ends up happening. This is literally just a jump in snapshot of here's this wild event that took place over the course of a day. You know, well, 24 hours, basically. And it's in, it's out. There are tons of questions left. I mean, at the end, even the way he's driving away, he cracks a punch as they're speeding down the road. He's about to drink it, and she's looking at him, and he looks at her. He's like, he hands her the punch, and she drinks. And it's like, well, what? I want to see the continued adventures of Liv and the Drifter. Let's see what happens. Yep. You know?
It's like he just picked up a sidekick.
That could be a buddy cop movie right
almost,
there.
Yeah. There's something so satisfying about it. And yes, people will complain. There's plot holes. There's this. There's that. But they just jumped in and out of this story.
You can't evaluate this movie in the same context as you would like some kind of a deep thought. I mean, you're not going to be like, this is good. And so is, you know, Schindler's List. I mean, you're not going to be able to compare.
Right.
You know, same caliber, kind of stuff.
Right?
This within its genre and what it was trying to be was quite good. So, I mean, it hit the mark in that sense. And it was, you know, when we all first saw the trailers, we're like, oh, this looks kind of fun. And it
just over the top. Yeah,
trailer
was fun.
It was accurate. It was cool. So,
yeah, spot on. Now, the serial killer and his friends, to escape the law, commit suicide, were doing a satanic ritual so that they could escape their bodies into something else, which happened to then go into the animatronics. Mm-hmm. And we know from the story that they were telling that these animatronics would leave Willy's Wonderland and were killing townspeople in their homes, their place of work, etc. So the sheriff and I don't know who else was with her. There's like three people total.
Tex.
Decided to go to, it was Tex, and was it the tow truck driver too?
Yep.
Okay. So they go to Willy's Wonderland and make a deal with them that we will bring you a sacrifices, you know, food, whatever they called it, if you would leave the townspeople alone.
Yep.
It's like, what the heck? Why would anybody do this? Why didn't the townspeople just burn down Willy's Wonderland like the kids wanted? That was probably the correct choice there.
Well,
they could have surrounded Willy's Wonderland, you know, the people who surrounded it, burned it, and if anything came out, they just kick the crap out of it. Why would you go in, okay, we're going to start just murdering people by giving them to you?
They're cowards, because remember they said it was scheduled for demolition, and the night before it was going to be demolished, the guy that was in charge of the whole project ended up dead and gutted. You know, they showed his guts laying all over and everything else. So they just were cowards. They thought, there's nothing we can do. These are supernatural creatures, and we're SOL, so at least they'll leave our town alone, and we'll just capture random people that, you know, no one will miss. I've got a question for you about these serial killers, though. Something that just popped up in my head when they showed all of them laying there dead and everything, that was all dudes as far as I could tell. Did any of you find it weird that some of these animatronics are female, and they're
two of them,
they're talking about things as if, you know, like, hey, you want, you know, come look at us, aren't I beautiful? Or you know, all these, they were making some more crass jokes as well as they're threatening. It creeped me out a little bit that That those are like dude serial killers, and they're fully embracing their female animatronic roles. It was just kind of unsettling,
well,
kind of weird.
Maybe in real life, two of the dudes, they always felt like inside they were women.
Yeah, and now they're trapped now inside an animatronic.
And now they got
yeah,
to actually possible. Live the way they wanted.
Could be. It was just a little detail I thought was odd.
Well, maybe the animatronic is the. I mean, the animatronic's the thing with the voice box. So it.
Yeah. Maybe
doesn't
maybe,
matter.
Yeah, more of the animatronic took over, I guess. Yeah, not important. But what I was going to ask you then, what my so was going to be, because you know I have to bring it up.
Oh, great. I'm not sure what we're headed
the
at.
The visuals, but. I don't know this cinematographer's work, but visually, what did you guys think of this film? Story aside, everything else, just visuals. Because you know I like to look at films kind of from
would.
That slightly technical
angle. I think they did the appropriate lighting on all this stuff to make it look super creepy, almost like a campfire where you're telling stories, at least on the inside.
Yeah.
A little bit too jarring in some of the fight scenes, and some of the strobing flash stuff was a bit much, you know, for... You know, I had to shut my eyes because when you're in a dark room and you're watching, it's like blinding you like a strobe light. Yeah, let's close my eyes till that one's done. But yeah, otherwise, I mean, that was my only observation of the visuals.
Yeah, Jason, how about you?
Well, I didn't notice a lot of the visuals outside of, you know, just some of the different things. Like when I was talking about the filming of the Camaro when it was driving and how it like zoomed up on like the tires or the exhaust pipe, etc.
Sure.
Dashboard, the stereo, that type of stuff. So just some of the ways that they used filming, like again, when he was standing there for hours, you know, how they had the, you know, the time pass there. Otherwise, I mean, it was dark. It was creepy. I don't want to say adequate because that makes it sound like it was just a ho-hum. But I mean, it did what it was supposed to do. It portrayed to me the environment, the situation, everything like that. So, I mean, it did a good job in that. And like you said, I don't know who the cinematographer was, but
I saw it here real quick. I can tell you, Dave
Matthews
was it? David Newbert.
Oh, okay,
I'm not familiar with his work. The only thing I didn't love about it is Adam, like you said, at the beginning of all of the fights, when the janitor would take on the animatronics, they would go to an intentionally shaky cam, you know, and it was. I didn't love that. I mean, I know they were doing it to indicate, okay, there's a fight happening. You know, we're doing this and kind of accentuate that action, which is a useful tool, especially if you're working with a budget and you don't have these, you know, crazy camera rigs doing it for you. I think it was a good move to add a bit of a handheld feel. Some of the shakiness was a little excessive for me, but nothing that was terrible. What I'll say about this film, there was a lot of beautiful shots in it. And they used color super well. Like you've got the outside stuff in at the ending and in the beginning when he's cruising around the Camaro's flying around these roads and everything. That's like this golden, hopeful kind of feeling light and look. And the way they're framing everything is just like a car commercial, for crying out loud. And then when you're in the town, you see, or not the town, I mean the trailer park, whatever it is. That light's kind of dingy yellow. It's kind of got this earthy tone washed out a little bit, like bleak. And you get inside Willy's Wonderland, and then you have this beautiful mix of like 80s nostalgia. I was thinking of Stranger Things a little bit, how they get that neon look a little bit. And these vivid, bold, neon-colored lights, and like that one hallway that led to the super happy fun room with that yellow... real golden single line along the wall of light, just some really visually cool looking things. And then they had during the actual fights, it was almost like they took all of this bold and vivid color that you were seeing constantly inside Willy's Wonderland. And all of a sudden it was very desaturated, very mellow. And it was somehow very bold and vivid while also being very reserved and kind of drawn back to show that contrast so well between the fights. And then as soon as he puts on that new shirt that's nice and fresh and clean, boom, we're back to vivid color and nothing as vivid as when he's having his final pinball fantasy at the end and dancing and the music's at its peak and everything else. It was just total, you know, Stranger Things, Wonder Woman 84, over the top, bold 80s color.
You were very observant.
Really,
I did not catch any of that. So kudos to you.
I can't help it.
Yeah, well, you're embarrassing the rest of us here that don't look at it.
Why?
Yeah, you're embarrassing me. I mean, come on now. I mean, we're not into fruity cinematography and stuff. We're more into violence.
I didn't see a single violin. What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's true. What do you think about the choice of the oil for the blood?
It's perfect.
I thought it was perfect, but it actually, the oil was more gory than the actual people dying. If you really think about it, because the people, we saw some blood and stuff like that, but when those animatronics were going, it was just buckets spraying everywhere, with the exception of the sheriff who had, you know, blood shooting up out of her torso, you know, which even that was dark colored. So you know, it was almost oil colored, but the way they went all out on the gore on the animatronics, I thought was telling, almost like, remember how we talked about the rest of the friends being throwaway characters? It's like their blood and the gore and the respect to the actual humans took a backseat to, we're going to make sure you feel the violence of these animatronics getting beat by this guy.
Well, the animatronics are the stars.
Right. Right.
All
right.
Hey, well, guys, what do you think? Do you think we should rate this?
All right. What's our rating scale here?
Well, let me say my rating, and then you guys can go off of this or just do whatever you want.
1 to 5, 1 to 10. I think that's what Adam's asking.
1 to 5.
Okay.
We've always done 1 to 5, yeah.
So 1 being terrible, 5 being...
I thought we always did 1 to 4.
No, we did 1 to 5.
Oh, we just never got a 5.
Okay, well, Dave, every one of his was a 5.
No.
Especially Tusk.
Tusk.
Tusk. All right, so why don't you go ahead, Adam? What do you think? 1 to 5.
Wow. How do you rate this bad boy? It, because I've got to give a rating in comparison to like other movies that I've rated, I'd give this a 3.5.
Mm. So you're basing this on a comparison to other movies?
No. Like I'm basing Infinity this on War. On well, what did I give Infinity War?
No, but what I'm saying is you're compare and contrasting this.
No,
to
I want
War.
My rating to stay meaningful. Like, you know, I don't know.
The movie has to the rating you're giving it is based on how you felt about this movie. You're not comparing this movie to other films, is what Jason's saying.
Yeah, 3.5. That means it's above average. Yeah.
Above average for you.
When you said 3.5, I thought you meant you were giving it a 15.
3.5s.
3.5s.
Heck yeah.
All right, Dave. Is this Tusk worthy?
It's darn close. I'm gonna give this movie actually a solid 4. Because, right. Like I said, it's flawed. It's not perfect, but it is everything I love about that B-movie genre. I love that genre so much. I love this kind of over-the-top campy horror stuff, and this just scratched all of those itches so well, and it was just so much fun. Like I said, the credits rolled, and I had a smile on my face, so I'm giving it a solid 4.
All right, sounds good. And if you guys remember back in the day when we used to do these reviews, and if our listeners remember, most movies I gave a 3. Mm-hmm. And my basis on that was I couldn't give it higher if I didn't think I'd ever watch the movie again. Well, I have given this movie a 4 because I know I will definitely revisit this movie again sometime.
Wow.
I've never given a movie a 5 because to me, a 5 is the absolute perfect. Which I know Dave disagrees. He has his own basis on how he gives a 5.
Yep.
But to me, a 5 means that movie could not be any better. So I don't think there'll ever be a movie that hits a 5.
Yeah.
But for a little bit of fun here, I did give it 4 Declarations of Independence.
Whoa. What is that?
What was that?
Declarations of Independence.
Well, I can't do the voice, but can you give
Cage?
It 4 Declarations
oh,
of Independence?
Oh, I see what you're saying. I'm going to give it 4 Declarations of Independence. That's terrible.
Thank you. Well, that was way better than what I do.
This is kind of big, though. I think overall, we'd say Digital Soup, we are absolutely recommending you check this out. It's cheeseball fun. And director Kevin Lewis, I know, Jason, you've actually had a little Twitter interaction with the writer, G.O. Parsons. And absolutely, if you want to come on, we'd chat with you. But
do it, G.O.
Yeah, to Mr. Lewis, Mr. Parsons, to the actors, you know, your main stars, Nick Cage and Emily Tosta. I mean, well done. It just an hour and a half of pure, unadulterated, not taking itself too seriously fun.
Yeah, you can't take this one seriously, but yeah.
Right.
Nice. Let's say one thing about that hour and a half runtime.
Yes.
Movies, let's go back to the hour and a half runtimes. We have been doing twos and threes. It's just, it's too much. An hour and a half is a great movie duration. Throughout history, it's always been like the 90-minute movies.
It's the B-movie length. That's a thing. And I
like an hour and a half. I can fit it in.
This was a perfect length, perfectly paced. Everything was just, there was no point in this film where it was like, okay, this is dragging. The story just clipped along. Like I said earlier, it's like reading a good short story. It gets you super in. It pulls you in quickly, gives you the story, and ends, and you feel super satisfied at the end of it.
I felt satisfied, as Dave said,
at the end of it. It's not going to win any Oscars, but it was fun. So if you guys want to continue this conversation, you can find us on Twitter at Digital Soupcast, or to get really geeky, head on over to digitalsouppodcast.com and jump into our growing community in the Hangout, where we're talking about... Actually, is anybody in the Hangout?
I am. Actually, we did just get one new person posted today in the Hangout.
We've got an old school forum. I have heard suggestions that we start spin up a Discord. Maybe we should talk about that at some point. But if you have a second
That's too modern. We got to go old school.
Why don't we just start writing letters to our listeners?
yeah, that'd be great.
With smoke signals.
What would really help us out, though, is if you guys could leave us a review in Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts, and make sure to let everyone know that Digital Soup is back and better than ever. So until then, stay geeky. Don't ever change unless it's for the better.
Take care, guys.
And don't steal the Declaration of Independence.
Later, Artie the Alligator.